This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, continuing our look at this historic day, the announcement by Governor Rick Snyder that Kevin Orr will become Detroit's emergency financial manager. Kevin Orr says he seeks one of the greatest turnarounds in the history of this country, the state's largest city under state control. Let's bring in Eric Scorsone now. He's a professor of economics at Michigan State University, and he's an expert in municipal finances and Michigan's emergency manager laws. Eric, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Break it down for us and really help us understand the nuts and bolts. What will the EFM be able to do as he walks in City Hall in Detroit?
Well, I think the first thing they're going to need to do is understand the kind of total financial situation. You know, where are the problems? What are some of the pluses the city has? And I think giving a good handle on that. And the city has hired a number of consultants who are doing that kind of work. And so my assumption is they'll gather that information, try and see what the picture is. And then I think there'll be some expectation they'll need to make some quick successes in terms of probably better service delivery, particularly around public safety, maybe public lighting. And so those will be some short-term things. And then I think long-term they're going to have to look at pensions and health care and how do we make adjustments to those areas so the city can have long-term solvency as well.
And as the emergency financial manager, what power does that give this individual? So what can he do? What can't he do?
So they can certainly review all the books. They can review payroll. They can do the budget, which is the budget process is already underway for next year. They can also make changes to contracts, including union contracts. They can amend and even reject those. They can sell assets to some extent. They do have to get state approval for that. So they have pretty wide sweeping powers to do a lot of changes. Some of that's going to take time and going to require analysis to see what's the best approach. But they do have a lot of tools at their behest.
But then when the state's new EM law, PA 436, when it takes effect on March 28th, and the EFM, Emergency Financial Manager, becomes an emergency manager, what changes then?
Right. So the emergency financial manager will be grandfathered in, as we call it, to become an emergency manager on March 28th when the new law, PA 436, kicks in. And basically, the EFMs that are currently in place don't have these contract powers. They did under the old law, PA 4, which was rejected in November. So now under PA 436, they will actually again have those powers to change and amend contracts. Another big difference that is very new is that the city council and the mayor, after 18 months, which would start on March 28th, could actually try and remove an emergency manager, and that is a new provision under the new law.
I have to ask you this because I know you're so deeply steeped in this law, and one of the persistent criticisms in reading letters to the editor and hearing sound bites from citizens even aimed at this whole appointment. And the fact is that the citizens of Michigan said no to the emergency manager law flat out last November. And critics view that the legislature came right back, wrote up another law, and then fixed it so there could be no referendum. And how does that not contravene the will of the voters?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I think the argument why it doesn't is because the city council or school board or whoever it may be in that case has a choice. They can go to a consent agreement, emergency manager. They can file bankruptcy directly, or they can do mediation. And then even within those choices, they then have other choices. And so the argument, I think, is that we've given choices. We still recognize there's a need for some, because there is financial crises that are occurring, and the state does have an obligation to oversee that, but they're trying to give choices within those constraints. And another example is a city council like Detroit City Council, if there's an emergency manager, can challenge the actions of the emergency manager on certain things, certain major decisions like a change to a union contract. And then, in essence, they can say, we have a different alternative. And there's a state loan board that would then decide which alternative is better. And the emergency manager would have to enact the proposal that the board decides on. So, they're, again, trying to give choices and options is, I think, the way it would respond to in terms of changes relative to PA4's rejection.
Eric Scorsone is who we're speaking with, an economist with Michigan State University and an expert in municipal finances and the state's emergency manager law. Eric, is Detroit fixable under an emergency manager, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think Detroit is definitely fixable. I think it's going to take a number of years, but I think the city has a lot of assets. The city has a lot of revenue streams. I think if we have better tax collection, we'll have more revenues coming in. I think better spending controls can be imposed, and I think more budget discipline in general. And I think the emergency manager will have some tools to address some of these long-term legacy costs around the pension system and retiree health care. And those legacy costs are probably one of the most critical issues facing city government in Detroit and other cities in Michigan. So I think we can get to the pathway. I think it's going to take a number of years. And I think those solutions then allow the city to have more money to help provide current services, like better lighting and more cops on the streets. So I think it's some bright news ahead, hopefully. It's going to be a tough challenge. There's going to be very tough decisions. But I think, hopefully Detroit will be able to turn the page soon.
What would be the first thing, whether maybe it's perhaps even a mindset that you would advise this new emergency manager to have on day one?
Well, I would have a mindset that two things to me that are critical. One is this has to be long term. We can't just fix today's budget because in a way that's kind of easy to do. You can make some adjustments and cuts and balance the budget for fiscal year 14. But I think you have to look long-term. How do we make the city solvent for 10, 20 years out under very, say, conservative assumptions about revenues and spending? I think that's critical, number one. Number two, even though I know a lot of people feel like, democracy is being taken away, I would really recommend that the emergency manager reach out to the citizens of Detroit, hear their voice, what is their concerns? What are the critical public services that are needed? And which of those maybe can we, do away with? And so helping citizens kind of gauge where the city is, what is the true picture, and what services do we need to fund or not fund, and how do we best provide those services? And so I think that person needs to engage in that process so that eventually, we're going to have home rule restored, and I think that will help strengthen that home rule. And we've seen some of that in places like Flint, where I think that's been a pretty good model for this kind of process.
Eric, what's your thoughts as far as what this appointment and this historic, groundbreaking development, what does this mean for the state of Michigan as a whole?
Well, I try and look at it, in a positive way that I think we've come to realization of how serious the city of Detroit's problems are. And they've been building for many years. I think many of us know that. But I think this is a recognition maybe that we need some new solutions. I think the governor, as he said, partnering with the city to provide the resources needed. And I think all of us hope this emergency manager is, obviously as short-term as possible so that the city can get back on its feet. But I think it's good to recognize the full scale of the problem now. And like I said, let's not only focus on short-term solutions. We need to make sure that the solutions in place are addressing those long-term costs, those unfunded liabilities, so that the city's viable for a long period of time. And so I certainly hope that's going to be the approach used.
And just what about economically speaking for the state of Michigan? Do you envision an impact? What does it mean economically?
Yeah, I think it does. I think we all know that Michigan and Detroit are tied together. People see them as, not synonymous, but similar at least. I think a more vibrant Detroit is going to be a better for the whole state. I think for those that don't live in Detroit, if we have a financially viable Detroit, it's going to be a partner to the private sector. I think the problem now is you're seeing new investment in Detroit. You're seeing some growth in downtown and midtown. But I think the city is kind of holding a lot of that back because of high taxes, poor service delivery, public safety issues. I think a vibrant, healthy city government becomes a strong partner that makes Detroit stronger. And I think that's good for Michigan. It's good for our economy. I mean, they're a big part of our state tax base that helps pay for schools. So I think it's in everyone's interest to really see this through. There's a lot of benefits.
Eric Scorsone, an economist with Michigan State University, and he's also an expert in the state's emergency manager law and municipal finances. Eric, thanks so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.